was easy to get over. You were something else. I finally get what it's all about. I'm 63 years old, and I'm in love.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Status Complicated. This week we changed the scenery. We took the show on the road to Long Beach Island, a cute little place in New Jersey, with everything from birds chirping to a warm breeze to creating the perfect environment to sit and chat with some coffee. I was joined by two of my guests as we fast-forwarded past their early dating and marriage, defining each other in their 60s. And it's clear that finding love at 20 or 60 remains to be challenging for many of the same reasons. So we begin with my guest Michael sharing his experiences as he enters the dating scene after 30 years.
I didn't start by going on to a computer dating service. I started sort of the old-fashioned way through networking and asking, letting people know that I was interested in meeting women and having relationships. And that was sort of old school.
You were doing it through, like, networking, through friends.
Letting friends know.
Yeah.
But I was comfortable with that. I didn't want to... I was more comfortable, even if the person didn't turn out to be someone I wanted to see again. I felt this was a good way of starting after 30 years. I would let people know they knew me and they had some idea of the type of woman that would be of interest to me.
Yeah.
And
because that's probably how you dated even before then. You probably met through someone familiar, right? When you first met your first wife.
Right. I would say I was never someone who easily picked up women at bars.
Right.
I certainly met women at parties, but yes, I think that even when I was in college, before I met my first wife, my dating relationships unfolded because people knew me. And they said, I think you'd be interested in meeting so-and-so. And if I trusted their judgment, and I felt like they were people who knew me, then that was a way of pursuing it.
Right.
So before I met Ellen, my second wife, I spent a number of years in my early 60s, early to middle 60s, meeting women this way. Through connections, through referrals. I was fortunate. I ended up having three relationships before I met Ellen, which I really was not interested in dating a lot of different people. I wanted to be in a relationship. I had been married for 30 years. I wanted to find a girlfriend and have a relationship. I really wasn't even thinking about marriage, because I had been married for 30 years, and if I never married again, that was totally fine. That was not a goal of mine.
You just wanted a companion.
I just wanted a companion, especially since I don't cook at all. And it got lonely and boring getting takeout every night, so I wanted a companion for companion's sake. So what I learned about the first relationship, we had a lot in common. It was very interesting. But before the first relationship ended, I started a second relationship because while I wasn't interested in having 12-day relationships going at one time, I didn't think I needed to be exclusive.
Okay.
I hadn't discussed this with the first person. She thought that I was exclusive to her. But I met this other person who was much younger. And she was about at least 15 to 20 years younger than I was.
Wow.
And that was very exciting to me because I felt younger. And her friends were all her contemporaries. And all of a sudden, this was cool that I was running around with this younger crowd. It made me feel like a million bucks. And it was fun. And, but I started to take this social relationship with number two, and we started sleeping together. And somehow the first person found out that I was having a second relationship. And she asked, "Are you sleeping with her?" And I said I was. And she said, "Well, we can't have a relationship anymore. That is the end of our relationship."
Oh.
And she told me that I really hurt her by doing that. And that that wasn't right. That you shouldn't be having sexual relationships with two women at the same time. I think maybe she was implying that I didn't know the rules of the game. Right. These were the rules of the game. You didn't know them, and you hurt me, and I'm not continuing this. So I reluctantly had to accept that, and that ended relationship number one. And then relationship number two was probably not as... it was more fun and titillating in terms of being this older guy with this younger woman than it was that we were really seriously compatible together. Although we broke up two or three times and we kept coming back to each other. And so there was clearly something there. But ultimately that ended. And then my third relationship was with a therapist. She was fun, exciting, attractive. And we went on a number of vacations together that were all fun. But on the maybe the third date, we were down here in Long Beach Island. I had rented a house for a week. And she said, "I'm in love with you."
Oh.
"And you don't know it, but you're in love with me."
Wow. That, wait, how long? 3 weeks in?
The third date.
The third date. Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness.
I was totally taken back. I mean, I was flattered. No one had ever said that to me in my whole life. Flattered. After 3 days that she was in love with me, I didn't even think about, she really in love with me at the moment? I was just sort of, whoa. This is cool. This is exciting. I feel like I am on top of the world. I'm a real cool guy. And
you know what's interesting about that? That a guy that was in his 30s had gone on a third date with a woman, and that woman had said to him, "I'm in love with you." That guy in his 30s would have freaked out and like ran immediately.
The contrast between
yes,
someone in their 30s and a guy in his 60s, a guy in his 60s.
I am generalizing, but in just...
No, it's an...
It's an interesting...
It's an interesting point, an interesting contrast. Well, I really was not running away. I was not freaking out. I was like, whoa, sitting on top of the world.
Aww.
And so maybe that even propelled these vacations. And I thought, let's live it up. This is someone who wants to be with me, and this is going to be fun. But
did you feel like you loved her?
Not at the time. Not at the time.
Okay. It was more caught in the moment.
I was definitely caught up in the moment. But then there was a point in time that I thought that I was falling in love with her, but she didn't think I was in touch with my feelings enough. I just didn't think that the direction she was taking me was where I wanted to go, that we were right for each other. And we broke up.
Because of that?
As I recall, well, it was sort of maybe evolving. That was certainly a factor, and I don't know, there were some issues that were developing, and we were supposed to go, I think, to some big family event, and we decided she shouldn't come with me, and then we broke up, and then I met Ellen.
When you, just curious, when you break up, did you have that conversation, or was it just known that she was no longer going to be your girlfriend because you said not to come to this event?
We had conversations. I wanted to sort of tie things up.
Yeah.
To make it clear. Even though we had that conversation that we were breaking up, and I think it was really mutual. Not think, it was mutual. We did have some continuing connections afterwards, as Ellen's story may tell, because when Ellen and I were together, she called to try and revive the relationship, but I wasn't interested. And so then I had broken up with her. We had broken up. And I was invited to Binghamton, New York for my college roommate lived in Binghamton. And that's sort of the segue into meeting Ellen.
Okay, so we've reached the point in the story where Michael has given us a background of his experience through dating, and now we're learning how he met Ellen, his future wife. But what's really interesting is what's his first requirement or first question when he finds out about her.
The way we met was that I went to my college roommate Memorial Day weekend of 06, and we went to a country club dance, and Ellen's brother, who was a friend of my college roommate, came over to our table. Her brother Mark said, I'd like you to meet my sister. And I said, where does she live? And he said, she lives in Westchester County, New York. And I said, it's too far. I am not interested.
I love that your first question is not, what does she look like? What does she do? It's, where does she live?
At that point, I was not interested in driving, no matter, or flying, no matter how amazing the person was.
I find that so fascinating, because most men would say, okay, show me a picture or something. But you were concerned in the address.
The order was reversed.
Yes.
I want to know where she lives first, and then...
And then we'll decide.
And then we'll discuss the other factors.
Yeah.
So we reach part two of our story, with Ellen joining us to give us the scoop on how she got Michael to finally forget her address and just go on a date with her. But before we dive into their love story, she begins by sharing her honest struggles that she faced in her first marriage.
I had been with my first husband since I was 14 or 15 years old.
Wow.
We were in high school together. In fact, our first date, so we were in the back of the car. One of the parents was taking us there and back. And my husband's, my future husband said, what do you think of a girl? This is now in the early 60s. What do you think of a girl who doesn't kiss a boy on his first on the first date? And I don't remember what I said, but I should have broken up with him then. So we were together through high school, and I broke up with him my first year of college and had a little fling. And then we got back together and got married in college. So I was married for 35 years. And had basically never dated anyone. I mean, I was with this boy, this person, from the time I was a child, really. I had no experience dating. So, other than that one kid that I dated in my freshman year. Unfortunately, it was not a happy marriage for me from the beginning. I probably should never have married him. We probably weren't that compatible, but we were friends from childhood. And I think at that time in my life, I wasn't secure enough at the time. I was ambivalent about him from the beginning. And I think I knew I didn't really, really love him and didn't really want to get married. But for all kinds of neurotic reasons, probably, I said yes. He pursued me heavily, kept coming after me, after me, after me. And I didn't have the guts to say no. And
you were young.
I was very young, very young. I didn't know myself in a lot of ways. And he was really, just came after me and pursued me. And as Michael knows him now, he can be very persistent. He doesn't give up easily. So I said yes, even though I really knew I didn't want to get married, but I didn't have the courage to say no, especially after I had said yes, so which is pretty sad. And we stayed married for 35 years. So...
did you end the marriage?
I ended the marriage. Fortunately, I found a therapist who was really wonderful. If it hadn't been for her, I never would have gotten out of that marriage because it was so hard for me. I felt so guilty. I probably felt guilty about marrying him in the first place. And I was so worried about breaking up my family. I was so worried about what it was going to do to my children. I was really worried about how he would cope, because even though we weren't compatible and neither one of us were really happy, he never would have ended it. And we were childhood friends. I was worried about him. How would he cope? And how would I cope? I had never been on my own. I had never lived on my own. I went from college to being married. I never was on my own. I didn't even date. I didn't have experience out in the world by myself, dating, getting along, meeting people, you know, men, you know. So I was scared, and it probably took me 2 or 3 years in psychotherapy, talking about this, worrying about this, thinking through every conceivable thing that could happen, and working really hard to try to repair my marriage. I tried in every way possible to try to fix it, and I couldn't fix it. So I ended it, which was really hard and really painful. And
very hard after 35 years.
Very hard.
Yeah.
And it was a very difficult divorce. My husband was very, 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 very angry. I also waited till my children were grown.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got the words out, I want to end our marriage, as angry as everyone was, I was so relieved because I had been so unhappy for so long, and I never, ever thought I could do it. I never thought I could get out of it. I used to be jealous of people when I was younger who got divorced because they were free, and I felt so trapped. And I was like so thrilled that I did it, and I felt free for the first time in my life. I was so excited. The first person I met was somebody who lived in the neighborhood. Well, I guess my husband and I had met, and he was single. He had gone through a divorce, I believe. And I met him. We went walking because we lived in a very wooded area, and I went walking, and I met him, and we started talking. And I got so excited. Oh, my God. I said, I'm not even divorced. I'm not even out of the house, and I already met some guy, and we're walking in the woods. And I was so excited. This is going to be fun.
Yes, you're free.
I'm free. But it turned out, and he was going to meet me. I was really separated.
Yeah.
But we were living in the same house for the benefit of my daughter. We really were separated, though. But I remember this guy was really close friends with one of my former husband's best friends or colleagues from work. And this guy's, my husband's friend warned him, you better not get involved with her. You're going to pay the price because her husband's going to really, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to be, he's going to make life miserable for you. So this guy ditched me really quickly. So I said, oh, I thought this dating stuff was going to be really fun. So he never met me. Like, we were going to go out on a date. He never did. So then I finally left the house. As soon as my daughter left for college, I moved out. And I rented a little house in just north of New York City, north of Yonkers, New York, in a little town called Hastings on the Hudson. A sweet little town that had lots of creative people. And I wanted to be not in the same community as my husband, who was living in our house that we had lived in for 20 years.
I'm sure that you didn't want to stay in the same place, too. Too many right. memories. You right. wanted a fresh start.
Wanted a fresh start. It was an empty house, and I went to flea markets and mostly flea markets and little places around, and I furnished my little house. My husband was very angry. He thought I should rent furniture. And I said, no way am I renting furniture. I'm getting my own furniture. I'm getting my own house. I'm going to make it feel like home. I'm going to invite my friends to visit me. I'm going to have parties because, as Michael knows, my husband was so... Not only was very, very, very controlling, but also he was very, very anxious and a little mistrustful. And I used to have to negotiate with him to have friends at our house, like to have visit. Like, he would be so anxious. Like, I couldn't have friends come in the winter because they might track snow into the house. Or I had to negotiate with him to have a dinner party for two people and to be able to sit in the dining room or... It was really painful for me, and I grew up in a home, as much as I had wasn't happy in certain ways growing up and had a very difficult relationship with my mother. My parents always entertained people, and our house was always open to people, and I love having people around, and I love entertaining, and all of that. So it was really a very sad part of my life in my former marriage.
At this part in the story, after hearing about her difficult marriage and a difficult divorce, we hear from Helen about a happier time and how she first was introduced to Michael.
My brother called me up and said, I met someone at Brian's party and you should get in touch with him. Because even though Michael told my brother that I'm not interested in dating anybody more than 20 minutes from the Dorchester, my brother said, oh, give me your business card. And just give me your business card. And Michael you know, gave him his business card. So then my brother started nudging me on the other end and said, Ellen, if you want to have a life, you got to put yourself out there. So I think you should get in touch with this guy.
That is so sweet of your brother.
So I always, my story about my brother is that he ignored me my entire childhood, so he redeemed himself. So I emailed Michael and said, I understand you met my brother and sister-in-law at Brian, at the country club dance, at Brian's dance. Oh, and I also figured that if Michael was a friend of Brian, I knew Brian,
yeah,
Michael's roommate, and I said, if Michael's a friend of Brian's, and he's a friend of my brother's, he must be really okay to date, to at least to reach out to, because they have really nice friends. So I thought, okay, and I would do anything not to have to go on the internet and date online. So I emailed Michael and said, I understand you met my brother. And so Michael, who... I think who from the very start really was very sure he did not want to date this woman who lived in New York and said, oh, well, just call me. So I, the good girl I am, I called him. And I called him, and this was true. This was a coincidence. I said, it just so happens that I have to be in Philadelphia for someone's graduation. I said, would you like to meet? And Michael said, too bad. I'm really sorry. I would have loved to have met you, but I'm going to be in New York that day because I won a ticket to the Tonys.
Oh.
Then I said, well, do you ever get to New York? Otherwise, you like theater. Do you want to maybe give me a call sometime, you know, and we could go out for a drink.
Look at you, coming full circle.
And Michael said, I go to New York, I go to the theater, and as soon as that play is over, I go right back to Philadelphia.
He was not trying to date you. He was like, you live in New York, right. Not Philly. Can't do it.
Yeah, sorry. So I said, well, if you ever get to New York, if you ever decide to wait an hour or so after you finish your play, give me a call. So he said, sure. Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later, he says. So I always tease Michael and say, your unconscious was speaking. You really wanted to meet me. I took it as a hopeful sign. Maybe sooner rather than later, which was really stupid on my part, but... So that was the end of that. We hung up. And I don't know why I did this, but I was truly desperate not to date on the internet. That a few weeks later, I emailed him again.
Oh, wow. Wait, I want to know, had you seen a picture of him? Had you done research?
I was born in 1947. I didn't know to...
Google,
look him up. All I knew was the old-fashioned thing. He was friends with Brian, and he lived, and he was
so much faith in this Brian.
Full circle.
And my brother.
Yeah.
So I emailed him again, which was really kind of pathetic, but I did.
What did you say this time?
My daughter was going to Princeton, which is 45 minutes from Philadelphia. Would you like to get together? This is really sort of sad because you could say, oh my God, I was desperate. But
no.
He said, I have a tennis game that day.
Wait, hold on. Michael, why were you so against this? Like, she's reaching out for like the second time. And now, how did you feel about the second email? Were you just like, who is this woman?
Well, I was, of course, a little bit flattered that she was pursuing me, but I didn't know her. And she lived in New York, and I really wasn't interested in starting something. It's going to be a waste of time. On the other hand, I wanted to sort of get rid of it. I said I would come.
Oh.
So I did come.
You did it out of?
Out of responsibility to avoid embarrassing my cousin. I wanted to sort of resolve it, not continue it. I was not going to New York, but she was making this effort, so maybe I could get rid of it by going halfway, having this lunch, and then done.
Wow. Okay.
So we met for brunch, and we sat there for 3 hours and had brunch.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. And we just talked. And we got along fine. We got along really well. And so at the end of the 3 hours, he walked me to my car. And he, I'll never forget, in Michael's, you know, own way, he stood there looking really puzzled and put his hands on his hips and said, "This is causing me a very big problem." He said, "I'm going to have to go home and figure this out," because he had really intended to get rid of me, and he was not intending to like me.
But I was stumped. I was puzzled. I was conflicted. I liked her.
So then you really just left thinking, what am I going
to
do?
What am I going to do? I don't want to travel to New York. So Ellen, continue the rest of the story.
15 minutes later, I get a phone call on my cell phone. I'm in the car, and he said, "I figured it out."
A guy that's in his 30s would never do that. I would like to point that out. No, 15 minutes later.
What? I was almost 60. He was in his mid-60s. Yeah. You don't have a lot of time. Like, you need to make decisions quickly.
In 15 minutes.
So he said, "I figured it out." So 2 weeks later, I went. And I'll never forget, I had only been to Philadelphia once in my life. So here I am driving over the Ben Franklin Bridge saying, "What in the hell am I doing this is a different state. This is like driving Pennsylvania. I'm in Pennsylvania. Here I am. What in the hell am I going to do? Coming to date a guy who lives in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I live in New York State. I never imagined ever living anywhere else but New York. What am I doing?" But I said, "Okay, here I am." It was kind of a little bit of an adventure. And I found my way to Michael's apartment. He was living, of course, in the Dorchester. And he had two bedrooms. And I walked in. And he said, "Well," he said, "you could sleep in this room with me, or you could sleep in that, in my daughter Molly's room." And I said, I'll sleep in Molly's room, thank you.
So slick.
I like it.
I'll sleep in Molly's room, thank you. Aww. So I slept in Molly's room, and he had this weekend down to impress the hell out of me. Now the tables were turning.
Yeah, you were pursuing him heavy before.
I was pursuing him heavy. Now he was pursuing me heavy. And I was enjoying it, but I wasn't sure how much I liked him now. Like, seriously, like, he's pursuing me. The saving grace on that weekend was when Michael took me dancing. He hooked me a little bit because he was such a good dancer. And we connected on a more physical level, like, which excited me. Like, it really excited me because I love to dance. And I somehow, subconsciously, we moved the same way. Like, our bodies moved the same way. Like, I loved the way he touched me and danced with me and held me, which sort of got below the surface of all this impressing me stuff, you know, around town. Like, I felt something when we danced together.
Did you feel that as well?
Like, I did. I knew she wanted to dance, and It was a moment.
Yeah.
It was definitely a moment where we felt connected and close.
And do you dance on your, like, you like dancing too, or was that more for her?
It was more for her. I mean, I like dancing, and I used to be a good dancer. I wouldn't go out of my way to go dancing, but I planned this weekend about her.
I think that's so romantic.
There was something that made me like him and that I wanted to go out with him again. But I almost was going to say I didn't want to go out with him again. But I do think it's that anxiety, like, and the age, you know, of, and also, I think a reality, and when you're dating in your 60s, is there's like a lot of conflicting feelings, like a lot of conflicting issues. Number one, you are not in your 20s or 30s, and you're not meeting tons and tons of people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you don't want to get it wrong, because you know how unhappy you can be if you get it wrong. And on the other hand, you know, I had a real desire to be with someone, you know, to connect with a man. So there are a lot of conflicting feelings involved.
So at this part of the story, we're coming to an end, and we're hearing from Ellen tell us the last part of it, of her taking a big step forward and taking their relationship to the next level.
I moved to Philadelphia to live with him in the Dorchester in September of 2007. And on Valentine's Day of 2008, February of 2008, he proposed to me.
Did you know that he was going to propose?
I did know he was going to propose. I sort of thought he was going to propose. We had talked about it. At first he really didn't know if he wanted to get married. And I said, if you don't want to get married, I'm not going to see you anymore, because I didn't want to just live with someone. I didn't want to just, if I was going to move to Philadelphia, I had to know he was pretty serious. He really was committed to me. I wasn't just going to pick up and move to Philadelphia unless I felt he was really committed to me. Was there any guarantee? No, there was no guarantee that we would get married. We were just going to live together.
When did you get married?
We got married in October of 2008. Wow. So, you know, he proposed in February, and we got married the following October. And
now you've been married how long?
It'll be 8 years. I'll just say this, that from the very beginning, because there were some issues, and there were some funny things, but the one thing I think that has made our relationship so successful is that we're both very open and open with each other. We're very close. We know instantly if the other one is upset for one reason or another, and we talk it out immediately. And we always resolve issues really quickly. Like if we have an argument or misunderstanding, we work it out really quickly and really thoroughly and get right back on track with one another. That's a strength of ours that we've always had. And it was maybe that first date when I said, oh my God, he's so much like me. You know, that we really are very open and honest, and we both have good hearts. And it's like that's what I saw in him when I first met him, that I loved, that I saw a depth to him. That's what I felt when we had that first dance. I saw a depth in him that on the surface wasn't as apparent to me, but I felt it and I know it, and that's what I've always loved about Michael, and that's what has really allowed our relationship to be so deep. And it's just grown over the years. It's grown, and we're very much in love and very happy together. And we're very well matched. And we say to each other constantly how lucky we are to have found each other.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Status Complicated. I want to thank my
and Ellen for sharing your story and being so honest and forthcoming. One thing that I kept thinking about while we sat there and talked was the fact that something that I often hear with other couples is the fact that a lot of the time it starts off with not wanting to go to this party or not wanting to travel outside a certain area or not thinking that you want to, you know, try something new. And the minute they get out of that zone, it opens them up to so many possibilities and finding new people that they probably or wouldn't have ever found, and leads them down to a path that lets them find the person that they love. So I think whether you're 20 or you're 60 or anywhere in between, it's about letting your guard down, going outside what you really don't want to do, and taking a leap forward. And hopefully you'll have a beautiful story just like Ellen and Michael.